at whatever level you're at in your career and whatever level of service you're providing, if you want to be charging top dollar, are you capable of that? Yeah, if you've maybe shown that you have the demand, the experience, and the follow through to do that, you can't just charge something, say that you're delivering an exceptional product, and then bow out at the very end.
Hey Slay, hey everyone, it's me Jay and I'm with my girl Nina and welcome back to the No Stylist Left Behind podcast. We have a good big we have to give a big shout out to Olico Professional. Hello everyone, good Friday, let's oh, Nina, listen, we're keeping it because this is how we roll. This is how we do. Thank you, Olico Professional, for being our sponsor.
Yes.
I literally felt like I was just a DJ and I
just watching you try to get that out.
Girl, I couldn't even, it fumbled off my lips. I don't know. It's too much. But anyway, so today is a great day of our podcast. And listen, I have a question. Mm-hmm. Like, if you could ride a giraffe or an elephant, which one would you choose? Just go with it.
Okay, I'm gonna roll with this one. And listen, this is an easy answer. So listen, I know that you love the giraffe, but I'm an elephant girly. And even though I love Stanley, the giraffe in Los Angeles, love Stanley, I live for some elephants. I have elephants in my house and yes. I would become one with the elephant. Thank you.
I would like that. I asked this because I was on TikTok and I was on the Safari channel. Mm-hmm. Like, that was my whole feed. And it was elephants and giraffes. And I'm madly obsessed with giraffes. Like I hysterically cry. And when I went to London with my hubby, he took me to the zoo and I was a zookeeper for like 3 hours with the giraffes. It changed my life. Mm-hmm. But then I was watching the elephants move and like roam, and they're mm-hmm. so gentle, but yet so powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Like they have swag where they don't gotta say they're that shit.
Listen, don't get me started on the elephants.
Anyways.
I watched elephants roll in puddles and cry. So there you have it.
I love it. Well, that's me. And we have a special guest today on the podcast. Guys, welcome back. Let's go. Nina, let us have it. Like, who's on today? I know she's kind of cool and awesome and epic.
Yes. And I'm excited about this because we're going to do our podcast a little bit differently. And we're almost going to do like a rapid fire with our guest. And we are going to be talking a lot of marketing. We're going to be talking a lot of tips and things with communication when it comes to clients. So I'm excited to have our guest, Miss Missy Meganson, and she is the Director of Sales and Business Development for Schedulicity. Welcome.
Hi, friends. I have so many things to say, so I'm like, I don't know where to start. Well, first of all, I love a giraffe.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So I don't know, like my daughter's first lovey was a giraffe, so like I'm very partial. And it was a pink giraffe that identified as a male.
I love.
So he was Mr. Giraffey.
I love.
Just so you know.
I love that. Yeah, I think, whenever, and guys, listen, whenever me and Nina are coming on and we have a guest, they're sitting here, they don't know what's happening either, right? So I surprise Nina and I surprise our beautiful guests that are on like the banter. Today was very special. That reminds me, Nina, of our very first podcast.
Mm-hmm. Oh, where we couldn't stop laughing. I can't actually wait to just listen to it back. Just watch your face when you're trying to get out Oligo Professional. I'm here for all of it.
But Missy, we are so excited to have you on today. This conversation we find is so necessary right now in the world of the hair industry, and no better person to lead it than you. I just love you so much. You're such a vibe. And you're the kindest to me. So let's just jump right into it. Are you ready?
He said, you're the kindest to me.
I know. And then he paused. I'm
I'm not going to speak. You are the most kindest to me.
No.
Guys, I'm on glitch right now. So we're just going so with good. The flow. I'm on my glitch era.
One of my first Jay interactions before we get into that was literally some sort of copy on an email. It was a brand email. And that was all like very new for me. I have no idea how new it was for you at that point. But Jay is all up in there like, hey, Slay, hey, unicorns and dragons and glitter. And I was like, oh, is this how we're supposed to do?
Absolutely not, but I do it. I just go all in. I'm like, this is who I am. I'm gonna hey the house down boots.
Oh my gosh.
I have been asked though about that. But you know, today is a special day because we're gonna be diving deep into just onboarding, like what stylists and owners go through every day. How can we best utilize our marketing, our like outreach, all of that. So we're going to just ask you away the questions and you're going to inspire us. So I want to kick it off with how important, and this is so good for me, and I know everyone listening, but how important is it to have a client booking experience, right? In the digital landscape right now? And what are tips to streamlining the reservation experience for those guests interacting with you? Because a lot of times now in the digital world, they're experiencing you for the first time, right? On social media, and then it translates onto the booking app or experience, however that is. So let us have it.
I freaking love this question because I am diving so much right now into the customer journey, which has always been something that I love to nerd out on. I'm sure it's something that you all love to nerd out on too. But the longer time goes on, the more digital we become as a society, the bigger part that this experience before they even come into your chair is starting to play. It used to be they would find you in the yellow pages. For all of you who don't know, that was a book where you would find phone numbers. I just dated myself. I hate it here right now. But now the beginning portion is primarily a digital experience. And we have to pay attention to that's not just us. Clients aren't just experiencing us digitally for the first time. That's every part of our day. So when we think about consumer behavior, how quickly are you making your orders off of Amazon? Are you booking your reservations for your restaurant online? Is that based on reviews or is it based on pictures? Mm-hmm. Paying attention to what your consumer behavior looks like means that we need to pay attention to what consumers are going to be doing when they want to opt into us. So first of all, that's why I fully believe in how important it is. But then to take it a step further, having a booking app isn't enough. And again, I work for one, so I get in trouble when I say that, but I'm going to say it anyways. We would love to say like, oh, set it and forget it and call it a day. Right. But that's not true because there's multiple touch points that have to happen to even get you to that app. Is this person finding you on your website? Okay. What does it look like when they find you on your website? Where's your book now button? How do they find that? How easy is it for them to see it? Do they have to scroll through 500 different things first? That's a problem. Or let's go over to the social medias, right? If you have an online booking experience, I know Schedulicity is integrated with the Instagram Book Now button. A lot of other apps are you actually utilizing that? Are you exactly telling customers what they need to do to get on your books in your bio? Do you have an auto-generated response in your DMs to make it easy for them so that they can be like, oh my gosh, I totally love this girl. I just found her when I was up at 2 o'clock in the morning with my crying baby. And now I want to book an appointment and I know exactly how to do it because I found her, I DM'd, I got an auto reply, and now I'm on her books. Like, how much of a customer-centric, client-centric journey does that sound versus that person finding you, liking you, having to figure out how to even talk to you, messaging you, being worried that maybe they're bothering you, so apologizing, waiting for you to reply, but you're busy as heck, so you can't get back to them. That's why we have to streamline this. It's not only for our boundaries, but it's also putting the client first.
Mm. It's sheer convenience. I mean, that's what we really talk about and kind of getting to the point of what you said, you know, pretty consistently is how convenient is it the client? Is it for the client to book? How do they find you? How many pages do they have to scroll through before they can book with you? What about your Instagram, Facebook? And I think that's it. The client experience starts before the client even comes into your salon. And partially that is due to how you're navigating your communication and how you're navigating your booking. So on the flip side, so now we got them before they came in, but now I want to talk about client retention. So client retention is one of the things that I live for, and I feel like it's not talked about enough. And I want to talk about the follow-up. So the client has an amazing experience. They, you know, the stylist slayed it, and now the client leaves. What are some suggestions in terms of follow-up? How soon should someone follow up? And a lot of this stuff can be done with automation, right? And what should something like that, like what is some verbiage that should maybe even go into some sort of follow-up?
Yeah, I think this also would depend on, are you operating as like a salon structure? So it's on behalf of the salon, or are you an independent stylist like myself? I would challenge you to think of that first, because so often I see a salon communicating as an I, as the salon owner is communicating in the first person. And when you are a salon owner, and if you are communicating through marketing messaging, that is a we, that is a collective voice. So that needs to be kept in mind, number one. Number two, if you are a single person and you are an independent pro, again, like me, I would challenge you to carry on that similar voice and cadence that you would when you are behind the chair and in the salon executing your consultations. Carry that on to your follow-up messaging. I think we overcomplicate this a lot. I think the internet is noisy.
Yes.
I think there are things out there saying, say this, and then people will come back, and then you do this, and you have to say it like this, and then you have to have this call to action. Are there metrics that say, yes, sometimes if you put these words in things, people respond better? Sure. But for me, what we are delivering is a personal experience. And so I believe most specifically the follow-up should feel personal. Mm-hmm. Now, you can automate it 100%. This would really depend on how booked you are. If you're not as booked, you have a little bit more time. So if you have a little bit more time, I would challenge you to not automate that. I would challenge you to go in again through Schedulicity. You can email, but I would challenge you to maybe send a personalized email to that person following up. Do you remember something from your conversation? Could you follow up? I hope you had a great date night, back again in the old ages before booking. That would be something that I would do. I would actually follow up with my clients specifically one-on-one after their first appointment with me to ask them. And I would regurgitate something from our conversation earlier.
Mm-hmm. And you can do that through, I think it's important to communicate in the way that the client likes. So if it's text message, do a text. If they text you, text them. If it's through email, email them. And if, listen, I'm going to really date us because back in the day when I first started in this industry, when I worked for a chain salon, we were already writing thank you notes that were being sent in the mail. This is going back to I can't even believe I'm going to say it. 1999. Okay.
1990. They were being delivered by carrier pigeons.
Right. Exactly. Yes. We didn't even have stamps back then. So, yeah. 1999. And we already were doing that. And that was something that I carried into my own salon. And, you know, I opened my salon in 2006 and sold it in 2016. We were still sending thank you notes. So I think with the personalization that you mentioned, Missy, it's like, yes, make it personal. And if you can't, that doesn't mean don't do it. You can still do something great that's automated, but something needs to happen because you still have to be in communication with your clients after they leave.
Yeah.
I go ahead, sir.
Sorry about that. I got excited. I also think that, you know, I just experienced something yesterday where I truly changed one of my guest identity for the first time ever. And I was having a conversation in the whole reservation about, like, I know this is a lot. This is something you've always wanted. If I do not follow up today, and say, how are you feeling when you pass the mirror? Like, are you okay? Do you want to edit? Like, how are you feeling when you look in the mirror now? Because it's something you wanted, but still do you want it, right? Like, we live in a world of like, we're doing the most dramatic transformations. And if we bow out at the most crucial time in the check-in, like, they're never going to come back. There's no loyalty there because you know how crucial that is to change someone's identity in that. So I love the follow-up. Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah. I think, again, this goes back to, you know, we're so often talking about the client experience and the charge your worth and, oh, I can charge this because of this. And to your point, Jay, I think if you want to be charging top dollar, are you capable of that? Yeah. If you've maybe shown that you have the demand, the experience and the follow through to do that, you can't just charge something, say that you're delivering an exceptional product and then bow out at the very end, to your point, Jay. Mm-hmm. Like, that's that full circle customer service experience.
Yeah. Yes. And speaking of full customer service experience, I want to talk about email campaigns, because this is something too that I think is sometimes overlooked, and you can get so much more engagement through emails and even convert clients to, you know, come into your salon more so than even social media. So when it comes to email campaigns, what are, like, now let's consider that it's either an independent artist or an owner that is send it, that wants to be consistent in the way that they're sending them. How often do you think they should send them? So how many times a month? And then what's a topic or two that they should maybe kind of stick to when it comes to trying to create a little bit more consistency with their email marketing campaigns?
Ooh, I love this question. So I think there's two ways. First of all, depending on whatever you're using, if your email is integrated to something like Schedulist, so you can schedule it to have sort of those like comeback campaigns. So if someone hasn't been on your books, that's something you can automate. That's a completely different thing than, in my opinion, what you just asked, Nina. Sure. But I just wanted to clarify. So my favorite thing is to do a monthly newsletter. I am all about efficiency and working smarter and not harder. So when I used to teach in my former life social media, I would say start with your newsletter and start with an email campaign. And within that newsletter, you want to think about what product specials are you going to run that month, right? And if you're not going to run any, that's okay. But what products do you want to highlight then? So we want to talk about a product because we want to talk about at-home care. We want to talk about something personal. And I say personal, when I'm talking about that, I kind of talk about curated authenticity, which means personal means whatever it is for you, how personal you are willing to get and what you want to share. That's always things that I predetermined what feels safe to me. So if my relationship with my clients involves talking about my kids, I might say like, hey, it's back to school. Like, I know you mamas are busy too. Like, that's something I might include in that as well. So something personal, a highlight on a product or a product special. And then again, a tip or trick for just kind of whatever is going on with the weather and seasons. Listen, y'all got some static out in California. Okay. We don't have that static in Florida because we're over here melting. All right. So anytime I travel, I'm like, oh, I would be talking about the static in my hair right now. And what is that tip or trick? That is basically, I would formulate a 3 or 4 topic newsletter, and then I would regurgitate those points throughout my social media during the month.
Yeah, I love that. And I'm glad we brought up the email thing. And it's something personal to me right now. I was just telling Nina today, it's like, I think with everything, we can lean in to the softwares, the apps, the booking, all of that, right? We can lean into it now. Like, we're allowed to have support there. But also, if you're kind of sparked with like curiosity from what Missy just shared, allow yourself to explore that. Because with my email marketing, it's whack, but I called myself out today. I was like, guys, listen, like, I know I was supposed to show up a certain way this way. I got personal. Like, there's other things I was focusing on, but I do want to nurture this with you. Like, let me know what you're excited to see and hear about or receive in your special intimate email address, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's going to land in your account and I want to stay there. So I love all of those tips and tricks for the businesses and the stylists out there to tap into it and like go there. Like, if you're not doing it now, it's okay. Like, here are little tips and tricks on that. And don't stop getting it.
You can always dive in. You know, I think I just want to say this about Schedulicity. Because I've worked with Schedulicity for, you know, many years now, and I absolutely love the marketing component that Schedulicity has. And there are templates. Yes, there's emails, but there's also ways to promote retail when people are booking. There's the marketplace where you can show up and in your area and people can search and find you. And so the marketing component, I think, is so important. And it's one thing that a lot of people don't have time for. So it's great because it's already there and kind of curated. So you can kind of plug and play.
Yeah. I love that you just brought up this magic word to me, Nina. Pre-booking. I'm going to pivot just a little bit, Missy, and everyone listening. This is a fun conversation I like to engage in. And I know that it's always on our mind. It's like the looming thing about the conversation of pre-booking, and it's changed over the years. And I know it's always adapting and evolving to different points of views, but if stylists are pre-booking, Missy, how far out should they be pre-booking? And then also, like, what tips do you have for them to be successful at it? Like, what is the landscaping looking like right now? And it may be objective to different points of views and teams and independent artists and all that, but what is your insight for that?
So if there's one thing that I've learned this year, it is that hairstylist and corporate structure are not that far off from each other, as much as sometimes we think we are, right? So we are scheduling appointments during the day on corporate meetings. I'm like, oh, I have clients, I have back-to-back calls all day. So the point I'm getting at, and I promise I'm getting to your question, is my favorite thing to talk about with this is calendar management. Mm. If you think that you can run a successful business and not be having a sit down with your calendar monthly, minimum, my best practice would say weekly, Sunday or Monday, sit down, have an audit, look out 3 months or as far as you think. Listen, my life is planned until like 2026 or whatever. That's just the state of my life right now. Yeah. But whatever it is that you are doing, I understand that people don't want to have to think that far ahead. But if you are able to manage your calendar and you can go in and schedule your days off, change your availability, know that you're going to be on vacation, so you can actually preset that your availability is going to change that week within our particular calendar. If you can manage your calendar, then when you pre-book, which allows you to continue the conversation with a client and retention, and let's also talk about that. I'm going to say something. We talk about the pre-booking thing. People have different opinions. I'm going to tell you something. There are rules and laws when it comes to sending emails and how you have acquired those emails. And if somebody is off your books for a lengthy period of time within our email providing system, you're actually no longer like authorized, if it's been too long, to send an email to them. So if you can get them on your books, even if it means that they have to go in and reschedule themselves, even if it means that you have a little bit of waitlist management, you're still continuing the conversation, in my opinion, longer term than if you're just winging it, have them leave out the door and say, hey, I don't know what my schedule looks like in a month, but hopefully you make it there. Now, I'm going to follow that up with one more thing. I also believe that there is no right and wrong way to run a business. For me, I very strongly believe in calendar management, and I've always been a pre-booker. Call me a dinosaur. I've been doing it for 20 years. It's worked well for me. Mm-hmm. So I don't need to change that because it's not broken.
If you have found a successful way to keep your books closed and open them monthly, and that is working for you, and you are happy and thriving and profitable, then do that.
Right.
But that's just not my personal experience, so I can't teach to it.
Sure. And I believe you. I think it's, you know, there is not one way to run a business. And I think, you know, it's great to have options, but I think you want to choose to make decisions in your business that are based on what is best for you and not what is happening because it's trending. And I think that's happened a lot over the past couple of years. And so I agree with you. Things have changed with pre-booking. I love pre-booking. I think it should be a part of the client experience, but are we booking 6 months out? No. Are we booking 12 months out? No. Maybe we're booking a month, one or two appointments, right? But you did mention something about a wait list. And I want to ask you about that because here's the thing. I'm getting so excited I can't even talk. If a stylist,
it's a giraffe.
It's a giraffe and elephant. Conversation sending me. If a stylist is booked and busy and they are turning away clients and they don't have a wait list, this is very important. I want to make sure that we talk about this because there are a lot of people who are booked and busy. There are a lot of salon owners that are running teams and they're booked and busy. And clients are calling and they're DMing and they're trying to get in and they're not able to. Where are these people going? And I want to talk about a wait list. I want to talk about the wait list feature. And I want to talk about the importance behind having a wait list that is like accessible. You know what I mean? It's not like on a sticky note somewhere. Like I want to talk about a real wait list and what that looks like.
Yeah, I think a wait list, again, is something that, hey, I'm the girl that had to close her books, right? Like anything that is coached out there that says not to do, I probably did it. Let's just be so for real because I like to fail forward. I like to learn the hard way, right? But how much easier, or again, I'm going to go back to the client-centric conversation, is it to say, hey, my calendar is only like when they go on, you can set your permissions for how far out a client can book. So maybe you only keep it open 2 months and a client's going to go and say, oh my gosh, there's nothing on there. There's nothing on there, right? So technically you're booked, you're busy, your books are, I'm air quoting, closed. But if you have a wait list feature, that at least allows you to create an experience that isn't saying, oh, not for you. Like right. you can't get in through the golden gates. Like you can at least keep that open. Again, there's communication. The client knows they might not make it off, but at least keeps you from having to completely shut down your inbound clientele intake. You're keeping those doors open. That's my opinion.
Yeah. I have a question about that. When you're onboarding or having the wait list on there. So say I'm a client and I'm booking with you, Missy, and your books are closed, quotation, but I'm on the wait list. The moment you're opening it up, I'm notified and you're notified that I'm first on the list or 10th on the list. How does that work?
It would go into the order that you are on the wait list and then also the time allotment or for the service that it's for. So again, that's going to play into like what you as a client set your availability as. And then, again, calendar management, the stylist is going to want to stay in control of that. I think that's the beauty of these portions of online booking where it's, you can set it and forget it, but also you can go into your calendar and maybe it looked like there wasn't something available because there was a 30-minute give, but maybe you know that you can actually accommodate that in that time. If you stay on top of it, you're going to actually be able to be more profitable.
Love. Thank you for that clarity on that. I think that is so amazing. I want to pivot a little bit. Again, love a pivot. Let's go. So what are the topics we're talking about? It comes to the podcast about digital business cards. Listen, I remember coming to LA, right? I owned a salon for 8 years in Ohio. I sold it and moved with no one knowing who I was in LA. But I did set myself up for success the year before I moved all the way out. And I would come every 4 weeks and I would have like little business cards, but then sometimes I wouldn't. And then I would have to be like, oh, can I follow you on IG, like, it was like, here's my number. But then you're like, right? Like, there's a lot of wide open spaces for, are we really a fit or am I just vibing with you in this moment? So when it comes to digital business cards, I know that is something that is available. Like, to you, why is a digital business card important, and what are the benefits, and how should someone be utilizing that?
I think someone, so are we talking about QR codes, like a digital?
Yeah, like yes. A digital yeah. business card, like QR code, like,
Yeah. I think you should opt in to, I love a QR code. I love a digital business card. Actually, it's kind of my most favorite. Actually, I actually got asked a lot recently in this like corporate girly world for a business card. And I was like,
You mean a QR code?
I was like, you're on my IG? Are they like, what's your LinkedIn? I don't know. Anyway, so I digress. So I would say, listen, you can literally go into Canva. It's my favorite. I think I'm a graphics designer. I'm not. And create a QR code. And that QR code can be linked to whatever the frick it is that you want it to be linked to. Now, you can link it, in my opinion, to one of three things. If you would like someone's first point of contact to be your Instagram, because it feels like a really great visual profile and you've got it set up that way and it's the exact direct representation for your business. And actually, Instagram has a QR code that you can just show and scan anyways, or you can go in Canva and do it. So it can be your Instagram with your book now button, as long as you've got that all formatted, great. Mm-hmm. Or you can take somebody with a QR code directly to your booking page. I have pros and cons for that. You get them on your booking page, it's going to give you your marketplace. It's going to give a little bit of a breakdown about who you are, but a lot of people nowadays have a little bit of a bigger representation of what their brand looks like at first glance than just their booking page. Mm-hmm. So if someone just already knows that they like you, they love your work, send them straight to your booking page to get on there. That's going to be the easiest. Your third choice would be your website with your book now button embedded on it. Again, very easily accessible. You're making it a client-centric experience. And then that person's really going to get to see your full breakdown. Hopefully you've got a couple reviews on there. You've got a couple pictures, your book now button's front and center, and then they're good to go.
Would you recommend dialing it into either one of those, or having, you know, how you can do a link tree or like the unfold, you can have multiple pages, like in that situation of it, is it better to have three different options and you kind of gauge that, or to give them all of it all at once?
I would not give it to them all at once. If we're talking about an actual digital business card, which in my opinion, correct me if I'm wrong, this means we're actually potentially in person or having a conversation with somebody. Yes. Okay, perfect. So what I would want to do is have each three of those linked separately and choose what I want to give this person directly, because a link tree is leaving that decision up to them. And you don't want anybody to have to click more than they have to get the information that they want. So you make that decision for them and you send them exactly where you want them to go.
I love that.
Boom. Convenience, right? And I think you can save your QR codes in your phone and then
in your notes. Yep. Yes. Or in picture. Yeah.
Absolutely. And so you can like, boom, boom, scan it. Okay. This is where I want this person to go. This is where I want them to go. And I think really getting them, the goal is always to think about like, what is the outcome that I'm looking for here? Right. So you can have those three options and then you can decide where you want to send them. And the market, the target market may be a little bit different too. Like if you're talking to someone, a potential client that maybe is a little bit younger, or maybe you want to send them to Instagram. So I think it's knowing the outcome and what you're trying to accomplish. This was so informative. Thank you for sharing all of this information, because it's like covering a lot of marketing and covering a lot of ideas that I think just sometimes fall by the wayside because everybody's just so damn busy. But I think it's important to make sure that we're putting the client experience at the forefront. Is there anything that we left out that you want to share? And then where can people find you? Where can they reach out just in case they have, you know, a little question? Can they slide into the DMs? Where do they find you?
Always slide into the DMs. No, you all are amazing. I think we talked about a bajillion things. So slide into the DMs at Schedulicity. I am in there a lot hanging out. So if you're ever in there, reach out. Also, our customer support team is absolutely incredible. We've got chat bubbles on our site. A phone number, again, if you really want to talk to one of them, you can always DM me. I'll give you their phone number directly. I do it all the time. Yeah, that's how to find us.
And they are rock stars. No, the tech support team, the support team is literally the happiest when you call them. They are so excited to chat with you. It's wild. Okay. And I've called them before. They're very excited. So don't hesitate.
No, definitely don't hesitate. And they are happy and they are friendly and they are literally in Montana, where, in case you were wondering, those are very friendly people.
Yes.
I've never said, like, I went to the grocery store and someone said, like, thank you and excuse me and pardon me. And I was like, I live on the East Coast. We don't do that. They do in Montana.
Oh my gosh.
Shout out to Montana. We love you.
Yes.
Yes. Thank you for being so friendly. Thank you, Missy, so much for sharing all of your knowledge and your time with us. Make sure you follow Missy on Schedulicity and slide into those DMs if you have questions. Follow our sponsor at Oligo Pro. It's Mr. Jay Ladner and myself at Nina Tullio. And if you learn anything from listening to us today, please know that it is okay to live in your truth and remember to always live your life out loud. See you next time.